You're listening to a podcast from Every Nation Macau. This is a series that reminds us of how our Lord came to be our source of life and light. Let us all remember the hope we profess in Jesus through this Christmas series in time.
Our new series is, our Christmas series is called, In Time. Everybody say In Time. Now, a few days ago, I was talking to my wife, and I was telling my wife what I like about December. Normally, December, this is the month when we have our long-awaited vacation for the entire family. So you can just imagine how we really anticipate going back to the Philippines or, normally in the Philippines to visit our families and also our friends. But for the past 2 years, we haven't been gone outside of Macau for vacation. Okay, of course, we are all aware of what's happening in the world today. We cannot go out because of lockdown, because of this pandemic. And I believe that majority of us here, we are raring also to go and visit other places. It may not be in the Philippines, but other places. But kind of hard when you are already formed by, a routine or a habit, and there is this disruption to the pattern. Okay? Because again, we have that pattern already. We are accustomed to going back to the Philippines, and now it was disrupted for the past 2 years. But I want to say this. Reality is, if we want progress in life, we need to learn to adapt and embrace change. I want you to tell the person next to you and say, you have to embrace change or changes. Much more so if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, change is inevitable. Amen? You cannot prevent change. You cannot even resist change because it's going to happen. If you are a believer, change has come. We were singing that earlier, hope has come. That means to say, when you receive Christ in your life, change definitely happened in your life. And you see, the world is evolving and so many changes are happening almost every single day. Like for example, technology is fast changing and upgrading. Okay? Example, before we are used to have a hard drive with kilobytes data. Right? Do you still remember that? You're happy when the kilobyte is, is high. But after kilobytes, what happened? There was this, we were wowed by the megabytes. Okay, from kilobytes to megabyte. Then, gigabytes. So you are more thrilled about it because now you have more data reserved, right? And today, we have the terabyte. Okay, so you are blessed to have that terabyte. But what is next? Okay, after the terabyte, okay? Somebody, people were saying, after the terabyte, there will be petabyte, then pexabyte, then exabyte. So we have to keep upgrading. The world is keep on upgrading. Even, you see, the COVID is upgrading. This pandemic is upgrading, right? So that's why we have to catch up, okay? I believe this season in our lives, God is leading us for a spiritual progress. And if there's something about this pandemic that God is doing among us, among the churches, among the believers, is that He wants the church to be upgraded as well. What happened during this pandemic? Somehow we are in a pause, in a stop. Everybody learned to somehow reflect and stop. And I hope you are getting what you're supposed to be getting out of this pandemic. And that is spiritual progress, is spiritual maturity. All right? We can't stay passive. If you have been passive spiritually, You know, you know, there's no such thing as being passive and dispassionate for God. You've got to continue pursuing God in your life. You've got to continue to, you know, growing in the Lord. You've got to continue to be ignited by the Spirit of God in your life. Now, what do we need to do to experience progress or the spiritual progress or breakthrough if you need one? What do you need to do? Now, let's go back to John chapter 1, verse 4. It says here, in Him was life. Okay, and that life was the light of all mankind. Now, this word life in Greek is the word zoe, which means life that comes directly from God. Okay? Or it is the God kind of life. Now, to think about yourself. Do you have that kind of life that God wants for you? Because you may be living. Yeah, of course, you, all of us, we are alive physically. Look at the person next to you. Yeah. Of course, that person is alive, right? But you may be living physically, but is still dead spiritually. You may be living physically, but your spiritual life, or you may, I would not say life, but you may be spiritually dead. That is what the Bible says in Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. That death is eternal separation. So in other words, if you look at this verse, if you process this verse, it says, for the wages of sin, you know, singular. One sin can bring you eternal damnation. So imagine that if you are living in sin, in other words, what will happen? You're a candidate, for hell. But the good news is, the gift of God is what? Eternal life. So if you are in Christ, you have eternal life. If you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have eternal life. As the Bible promised, you have eternal life through who? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So when Jesus comes to our lives, first and foremost, He gives us what? He gives us eternal life. Everybody say eternal life. Now in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, it says here, and this is the testimony God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son, whoever is Jesus, has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. So you can see the contrast here. So it is glaring. Okay, the glaring contrast that you can find in this verse. Whether you have the Son or not. Okay, if you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son, if you do not have Jesus in your life, definitely you are spiritually dead. So if I have to describe myself, before I came to know Jesus, there is one word to describe myself then. Lifeless. That's why before I came to know the Lord, after I graduated in college, there is this void in my heart. I've been really searching and I've been asking, you know, is this the meaning of life? You know, is this it? You know, after you graduate, after you somehow you attain something, this is it. But I knew then, deep inside me, there is more to this life. I thought life is just all about attainments. It's all about acquiring all you need, only to realize that there's so much more to what our heart desires. So you see, there is this discontentment in our hearts. How many of you feel that in your own heart? There is that discontentment. If you are not living for God, you will always feel this, that discontentment. We long for something and tries to search for it. We explore and tries to discover, but many times we end up what? Disappointed or frustrated. Until God shows up in the picture and you realize only Him, only Jesus would ever satisfy. Only Jesus could ever fill the void. Only Jesus could give you life. So many people today, they've been, again, searching in the wrong direction. They're in the wrong, you know, they're pursuing something else rather than Jesus. So our life in this world is temporary. We are just passing through. We're just passing by. We are like, the Bible describes our life just like a mist. It's like a sudden. You are here today, but for how long? Have you asked that question? We may live our lives believing we have years to do all that we want, but reality is none of us knows how long we have left. Imagine when I think about those people who died, many of them, they were still young. Two friends of mine died. They're still very young. I was really shocked. My close friend in the Bible school, he died. I did not even know it. He already died for more than a year. When I discovered that he was already dead, can you imagine? Because the question is this, are we living our lives with a sense of eternity? Are you living your life with a sense of purpose? A sense of eternity. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, so fix our eyes not on what is what? Not on what is seen. But on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. You see, because what we do in this life affects what happens in the next. All the choices that you make today will reflect, will impact the next. And this is the reason why we need to live our lives with intentionality. Tell the person next to you again and say, be intentional. With utmost intentionality, as Rick Warren wrote in his book. He wrote the book, that popular book. How many of you read his book, Purpose-Driven Life? Some of you have been impacted by that book. You see, because we were created by God for a purpose. You are, you know, sometimes you look at yourself and you think of yourself as nobody. But you are somebody to God. So I don't ever look at you as, man, I am just a dirt. No, you are not a dirt. When God looks at you, you see, I mentioned this last week. You are the apple of His eyes. Don't ever dare to say that you are a nobody. You are not special. You are special to God. Maybe you are not special to other people, but you are special to God. Can you imagine every single day God is thinking about you? 24/7, God's thoughts. He's thinking about you. He loves you dearly. Now, what will sustain you as a believer? What sustains us as believers? And this is the second thing that we have received in Christ. First, again, is eternal life. And the second one is life in the Spirit. If you look at John chapter 6, 63, it says here, the Spirit gives life. That is one of the things that we have received, as we have received eternal life, not only that we have received, again, salvation or eternity with God, but also we have received life in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. If you are a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit is in you. Amen? And that Holy Spirit, it says here, gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. So then again, you have received the Holy Spirit so that we can what? We can live for God. Because apart from God, it is impossible for you to know His purpose. Apart from God, you are nothing. We are nothing. We won't be able to know His will apart from God or apart from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to know the will of God. Not only that, the Holy Spirit enables us to know the will of God, but He is also enables us to fulfill or accomplish the purpose of God. So everything about our lives as believers is about depending on the Spirit of God or His grace, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. We have no capacity apart from the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit gives life. Galatians 5:25 says here, if we live by the Spirit. So you can see that there, you know, the word if, that is conditional. So that means to say you can choose to live by the Spirit, or you can resist or ignore the Holy Spirit. It says here, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. You see, we need the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we taught you about the Holy Spirit months ago. The Holy Spirit is a person. The reason why we can commune with God is because of the Spirit of God. We commune with Him through the Holy Spirit. And so God expects us to live by the Spirit, because apart from the Holy Spirit, we won't be able, again, to respond to His will. And also, the Holy Spirit helps us to overcome our weaknesses. How many of you here, you understand that we are all weak? That's why Romans chapter 8, it also says there, when we are weak, we have the Holy Spirit who helps us. Amen? In our weaknesses. Let me ask you this question. What problem or problems are you facing today? You may be here tonight and you are going through some struggles in your life. Maybe you are worrying because something happened in your life. How many of you here, you are a worrier? Not a warrior, but you are a worrier. You worry a lot. When something comes up, you worry easily. Some people are like that. But Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about what you wear, what you will wear. Do not worry about what you will eat. Do not even worry about the clothes that you will wear. Or the things that you're going to eat. Do not worry. Instead, what do you need to do? Matthew 6:33, He said, seek first. That means to say, don't focus on worrying for something. How many of you here, you know the Bible even said that? Can you add something by worrying into your life? Can you add something into your life by worrying? Of course. You're adding wrinkles, right? into your face. But other than that, so why worry? Instead, Jesus told us, and this is what you need to do. Instead of worrying, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. You see, that is dependence. Now, you are not depending upon yourself, because when you begin to worry, it's as if God will not help you. But when you're saying, Lord, I will fully trust in you, you're making a choice, the right choice, by saying, Lord, I will seek you first. And He will take care of the rest. Amen? So maybe that is your struggle, worrying, or maybe unbelief, or doubt, or maybe disappointments. Someone here, you came here tonight, you have been disappointed because something happened to you a few days ago. I just sense that. But you see, you've got to ask the Lord to help you even in times of disappointments in your life. You see, you may be disappointed, but God will not disappoint you. He will answer your prayers. Amen? Or maybe you're here today, you're having identity crisis. I'll tell you what. Jesus is here to help you. You see, God created you for a purpose. God created you with identity. You can just read Psalm 139. It says there, you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Look at the person next to you. That is the kind of person that God created. Fearfully. But please do not translate in Tagalog that word fearfully. Okay. Yes. You're fearfully and wonderfully made by God. You see, one of the reasons we end up defeated or feel defeated because we kept on looking back. Many people, they keep on looking at the rear view mirror. You know, looking at the past. When something happened, you know, it's like, or instead of moving forward, they would always look back. Oh, poor me. Nobody cares for me. You know, people rejected me. You always look at the back, at, you know, what happened to you. It's like, you know, driving a car. I tell you, if you're driving a car, if you want to, you know, reach your destination, there's no way you will be able to reach your destination if you've been looking at the rearview mirror. That's dangerous, isn't it? You've got to learn to look or focus your eyes on what is ahead. You see, there may be still unresolved issues of the past that you need to deal in your life. The question is, will you allow God to help you? Will you allow God to intervene in your situation? Will you allow God to heal you from rejection? Will you allow God to fix the issues that you have went through in your life? See, God's presence makes us whole. You see, the Spirit of God is not just given to us, not only to lead us, not only to help us in times of, you know, when we try to make decisions in our daily life, but the Holy Spirit is also here to heal you, to make you whole, to deal with the issues or remaining issues that you are struggling with in your own life. John chapter 1, 16, 17 says, out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You see, God's grace is upon us through the Holy Spirit. He is called, like what I've said earlier, according to Hebrews 10:29, He is called the Spirit of grace. So it is the Holy Spirit who enlightens us when it comes to His Word. So whenever you embark yourself in searching the Word of God for you to know Him, it is the Holy Spirit who enlightens you, who shows you who God is. You see, having a Bible or having a law is not a guarantee. This is not enough for you to know Jesus. See, you have a Bible. But I'm not saying this is not important. This is very important. If you are a Christian, this is a must for you to read. But you won't be able to know God apart from the Holy Spirit. When we went to Israel 5 years ago, we had a team from our church. 9 of us or 8 of us went to Israel. And when we arrived in Israel, we were accompanied by a tourist guide. Okay? As we toured around and visited the places where Jesus ministered. You know, that guy, his name is Asaf. Okay? He's our tour guide, our guide. You know, I was just amazed with Asaf because he knew the Bible than most of us here. He already memorized the Bible. He can quote the Bible. He knows Jesus. He knows, when we go to different places where, he would tour us around and he would tell us, Jesus, he was standing here, and I was just startled. And he would quote what Jesus said. He would quote the Beatitudes to our amazement. But this guy, even though he knew the Bible, he memorized the Bible, and he is a Jew, he is an Israelite, but then again, he wasn't a believer. Can you imagine that? He knew the scripture, but still would not believe that Jesus is Lord and He is the Messiah. Because until the Spirit reveals Jesus to us or to Asaf, no matter how much he learns from the scripture, it won't matter to him. Same thing with you. The scripture will not matter to you unless the Holy Spirit opens your spiritual eyes for you to see and for you to understand the scripture. Jesus is revealed by the Holy Spirit. Revelation comes to us as the Holy Spirit shows us Jesus. If you have the Spirit, you know Jesus because the Spirit or the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. Again, Jesus said this. I used this last week. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus talked about his three identities. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Incidentally, or interestingly, how many of you are familiar with the tabernacle of Moses? Interestingly, the tabernacle of Moses is composed of three parts: the outer courts, the holy place, and the most holy place. Let me show it to you. You see here, this is the outer courts, this is the holy place, and the holy of holies. Now, what is the Spirit telling us regarding Jesus' three identities here? Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You see, the way refers to the outer court in the tabernacle. Now, what you will find in the outer court of the tabernacle of Moses, you'll find the altar of sacrifice. Here they go. That reminds us about the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and me. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice for you and I to be saved. And what you also will find there is the laver, the brazen laver, which is the wash basin. Before the priest could enter into the holy place, but because only the priest could enter, only the priest is allowed to enter the holy place. So for us Gentiles or non-Jews, we are disqualified before to enter the tabernacle. We're just talking about the Levites and the priest here who can enter, who can perform the duties. The outer courts, again, you see the wash basin that represents the word. Okay, the basin, the water, to wash their hands and feet. That represents the word of God, because the word for us, it washes or cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. And who is the word or logos? And that is Jesus. So we can see here, if you want to experience God in your life, this is the picture. You can never enter the tabernacle or the presence of God without Jesus, because Jesus is the way. He is the outer courts, so to speak. And in the outer courts, you see again, you see even the elements, the altar, which is about Jesus, because he made the ultimate sacrifice for you and me, and also the wash basin, which is the word that cleanses us. The word is also the gospel, the message of the gospel, and that is Jesus. So when Jesus said, I am the way, he's referring to himself as the gospel. You cannot be saved apart from the gospel, because you've got to receive the gospel yourself. Are you hearing me? But, brothers and sisters, do not just be satisfied by being in the outer courts. Oh, it's enough for me to have the gospel. I already received Christ. Yes, you may have received Christ, but you should not stop in the outer courts. A lot of Christians today, many Christians, they are just satisfied by having the gospel. They only know the gospel. But what else? You see, I am saying here, as a believer, as a Christian, you've got to be, I tell you, you have to progress. You have to grow in the understanding, in the truth. And that's why here, after the outer courts, you've got to get inside the holy place. And what will you find in that room? What you're going to find in the room? Three elements. The showbread, or the bread, the lampstand, that's the other one, and the incense. And the revelation is the truth. Because Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the revelation. So when you enter, you begin to understand, oh, bread. Jesus is the bread of life. And the lampstand is the light. Jesus is the true light. And incense, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. Without Jesus, of course, we won't be here today, because he's the one who mediates between you and God. He is the bridge. Are you hearing me? So Jesus, being the truth, reveals to us who he is. I am the bread of life. I am the light, of the true light. And I am the mediator. So there is that revelation. So once you enter in the holy place, and some of you begin to understand, when you spend time with God, you begin to receive revelation from God. You've got to know him. You begin to know him because of the revelation, because he is the truth. So no, not only that He is the way, outer course, not only that He is the truth, but you have to continue pursuing God, because I tell you what, there is still a Holy of Holies where you find the presence of God. And you see, in the Old Testament, only the high priest can enter the Holy of Holies. Not all the priests can enter. The priest can enter the holy place to perform their duties and responsibilities, but only the high priest can enter the Holy of Holies once a year. Only once a year. And before the high priest could enter, before the high priest will enter the holy place, he has to have a rope tied in his leg, because you never know what will happen inside. Because inside, when the presence of God appears, if that high priest is not living his life for God, that high priest will die. Can you imagine if you are the high priest living in the Old Testament, and you know that you will enter the most holy place? I bet you, perhaps months before that, it was announced that you have to get in, you're probably trembling. You couldn't probably sleep. You're probably confessing your sin every single day, right? Fear would struck the high priest. See, because if you enter the most holy place and God is not pleased with your life, you will be struck dead, and people, the priest would have to remove you by pulling you out from the most holy place. But you see here, in this New Testament, new covenant that God has given us, all of us, we have now the capacity. God has given us the access to enter not only in the outer courts, not only on the holy place, but Holy of Holies. We can enter into the most Holy of Holies, not because of what we have done, unlike the high priest before, but the reason why we can enter is because of what Jesus did for us. Because of the precious blood of Jesus that covers us, that whenever God looks at us, He doesn't see Kiel as a person. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. He is covered by the blood. He is covered by the righteousness that Christ did or has given Kiel. Now, that's the reason why whenever you come before the Lord, every Sunday here, we have praise and worship. You can enter into the most holy place when you begin to worship God. There's no more veil. You know, whenever what happened after Jesus died on the cross, what happened? The veil was torn into two. That means to say, now, because of the new covenant that Jesus created, now we can enter into the most holy place. We can, every one of us, we can get inside and fellowship with God. Hallelujah. So God has given us this access. So I want to tell you, we have to press in until we encounter God in the most holy place, because the most holy place is the place of intimacy with God. The holy place is even the place of overflowing. Okay, the overflowing presence of God that will come upon you. It's a place of spiritual breakthrough in your life. How many of you here, that is your prayer? God, I want to experience breakthrough. I tell you, you press in. Don't just be satisfied, because there will be the ultimate satisfaction, spiritual satisfaction that you will experience is not on the outer court, not even on the holy place, but when you enter into the Holy of Holies. where the presence of God is. How many of you here, you have experienced the presence of God in your own life? You see, that is something that you have to crave for in your own life. God, I want to experience you in my own life. You see, John chapter 1, verse 16, Jesus talks about that He is both truth and grace. He is full of truth and grace. Of course, He is. He is the revelation, but at the same time, grace because of the Spirit of God. So we need the grace of God to fellowship with the living God for you to experience Him daily in your life. It is in the most holy place where we experience and find life. Total satisfaction. You see, I know that for many of you here, perhaps this is kind of deep teaching. But then again, I want you to put the deposit inside of your heart. See, at the end of the day, the life we seek is only found in Christ. This thing happens because at the end of the day, we cannot press on in the most holy place apart from Christ. Everything that we can do today is because of what Jesus did for us. The very life that we have today is the life that it is given to us by Jesus. Amen? My last scripture, as I land this message, is this. John chapter 10, verse 10. It says here, the thief. Who is the thief? You see, Satan or the devil comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil will steal your destiny. The devil will steal your joy. The devil will do everything to destroy your life. That's what the enemy does. And he is committed to destroy you. He is committed to destroy your life. To steal everything that you have in your life. But Jesus said this, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I shared this morning because lately there was this urgency in my heart. My heart is aching as I realize that many Christians are losing their passion for God. You know, I've talked to many Christians, and you will know as you talk to them, you know, their spiritual appetite is diminishing. There's no longer there. They started really so on fire for God, but after some time, especially during this pandemic, they're losing it. They're losing it. For the past 2 years, you know, as I begin to talk to these people, you begin to realize, you know, that, you know, the ugliness of this pandemic started to reveal what's inside of these people. You know, it appears the character, what they have made of. Imagine, these past 2 years, many things happened. People died. Just like my friends, two of them. They died. But many people also today, they died spiritually. And they're dying spiritually. Many people end up turning their backs on Jesus. Giving up their faith. I hope that is not us. If you are here tonight and you are losing your passion, your desire for God, it's about time. I want to say this prophetically. I want you to say this. It's time to push harder. Tell the person next to you, say, it's time to push harder. I want you to push that person and say, it's time to push harder. In other words, no matter what happens, in this time of crisis, again, maybe you are going through a personal crisis in your life. What do you need to do? How do you have to respond to God? You have to stick to God. And not only that, you say, God, you know, I will not let myself be caught up by my struggles. I want to push harder. Because God wants you to progress in your relationship with Him. God wants you to continue to grow in your devotions, in your love for God. Just like the tabernacle, don't just stay outside. Don't just say, it's just enough for me that I am saved. I'm just going to attend the church. I tell you, if you are just attending in this church and you don't aspire to progress in your relationship with God, time will come that you will not be here anymore. Because there's no such thing as Christian who is stuck or who is passive or disengaged. You've got to continue pursuing God in your life. You've got to continue to press on and say, God, it's time for me. That should be your devotion. Lord, I got to have a heart to push harder no matter what. If there's something that you need to protect in your life, it's the deposit. The deposit of what God has given you in your life. Protect it. You know, every now, of course, every day you receive from God, protect every deposit that you receive from God, because that will help you sustain your journey with God. Amen? Don't let allow other things to stray you away from your faith. Don't allow anything to diminish your passion for God. Amen. Choose to pursue Jesus despite, again, the adversities that come your way. I would like to ask everyone to please stand.
Thank you for listening. For more podcasts and to give online, visit everynationmacau.org. God bless you.